welcome everyone to the Sino-American Silicon Products, Inc. FY 2021 earnings call. My name is Matt, and I will be your operator today. During the presentation, your lines will remain on listen only. If you require assistance at any time, please press star zero on your telephone and the coordinator will be happy to assist you. I'd like to advise all parties that this conference is being recorded. And with that, let me hand it over to Sunny Lin. Sunny, please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon and good morning, everyone. I'm Sunny Lin, semiconductor analyst at UBS. It's our pleasure to host SAS management today for their fourth quarter 2021 earnings conference. Now, let me hand over the call to Mr. C.W. Lee, the spokesperson of SAS, for opening remarks.
Thank you. Thank you, Sunny. Hello, everyone. Welcome for joining SAS 2021 earnings conference call. I'm C.W. Lee, SAS Vice President, as well as company spokesman. We also have Doris Hsu, Chairperson and CEO of SAS in this call. Doris will give us the executive comments later. And then I will present industry overview and 2021 whole year financial performance. The final Q&A session will be hosted by Doris as well. For today's presentation file, we have uploaded onto our website. If you do not have the file on hand, please access our website for the most updated file. Please note that some information during our discussion today will consist of forward-looking statements, which are applied throughout the call and this presentation. These are subject to significant risk and uncertainties. Actual results or trends could differ materially from our forecast. Please refer to the safe harbor notice in our presentation, page 1, disclaimer. Now I would like to turn the call over to Doris for page 2 to page 8, executive comments, and I will report to you our 2021 operational performance later. Doris, please.
Thank you very much, CW. Hey, good morning. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining Sino-American earnings call for 2021 financial result. For solar business, I think the major headwind in 2021 is no doubt the cost escalation, which soared throughout the production, the whole production chain, starting from polysilicon in the upstream to aluminum for the solar panel and other equipment in downstream. The explosion in Xinjiang poly factory early last year resulted in poly shortage, and the industry is further blown by global inflation and transportation system. At the same time, the impacts from extreme weather events worsened drastically as regions that were previously not considered to be on the front line of the climate change saw unprecedented weather events destroy homes and claim lives, such as German flooding in July and US Kentucky tornado in December 2021, which is the largest tornado outbreak in the US history. Not to mention the worst drought over half a century in Taiwan, the first half 2021. So 2021 was regarded as a pivotal in the global effort to take action on climate change. Yet every cloud has a silver lining. While the losses are devastating, people are realizing the decarbonization is the true solution, is a true way to battle the climate change, and many nations now have already legislated green policies and climate goals to adopt renewable energy. So does Taiwan. In 2021, SAS, we not only surmounted all the obstacles I just mentioned about, but also we contribute a very solid result under such a very tough circumstances. I think we can call 2021 as a year of record breaking for SAS. We reach a lot of new record on financial index. I will share more details later on. So let's start from the financial highlights. 2021 actually is a record-breaking year for us. SAS has achieved many best efforts. Our outstanding performance include the following. The first one is the Q4. Our 2021 Q4, SAS 2021 Q4 revenue was the best ever, and it which grows for 7 quarters consecutively. And the second one is that 2021, the full year revenue is the second highest for SAS. That is a very good result, which is just very close to the, our all-time high. And the third item is Q4 gross margin. SAS Q4 gross margin was as high as 38%. This is our new record high. And this is the four consecutive quarters of growth on gross margin. And the fourth new record is that 2021 full-year gross margin is increasing for 6 years and hit the record high again. That's our 2021 result for the full year. And next one is that 2021 full-year EPS, which is 1162. This is our all-time high from day one of SAS established. So it means that this is the all-time, the best in the past 41 years. And 2021 EPS 11.62. This is the best ever. But actually, this already included a reserve, GlobalWafers reserve for the 50 million euro termination fee. Due to its unfulfillment of Siltronic deal. So if there was no this termination fee reservation reserve in 2021, SAS 2021 full year revenue could achieve 12.99. So so this is definitely a record high for us as well. But of course, we GWC has reserved this 50 million termination fee in Q4. So SAS consolidated financial result for 2021 becomes 1162. This is still the best ever result. So these are very good result. This is 2021 is a record-breaking year for SAS. We made a lot of very good new record on financial result. That's the most important thing I want to share with everyone. And next is page three, some reinvestment. I think SAS has already successfully explored a very unique way to reinvest, made a lot of investment on some different country, different companies, in which those companies, most of them are semiconductor related. So I am not going to go through all the details of those reinvestment company, but I will just introduce two new companies among all of our five reinvestment company. The first one is TSC, Taiwan Specialty Chemical Corporation, TSC. TSC is one of the major specialty gas vendors in semiconductor industry, not only in Taiwan, but also worldwide. Its main products include disilane and trisilane, with proximity to serving local semiconductor ecosystem. TSC is beneficial for customers' BCP, business continuity plan. So local supply also mitigates macro uncertainties. So TSC is doing pretty well in 2021, and TSC plans to be listed in emerging stock market by end of this year, and they will go IPO in 2023. Let me share a little bit more update of TSC. TSC 2021 revenue grew 24%. Compared with 2020s. And what's more important than the revenue is that TSC 2021 is the very first time for TSC to turn around, make profit for the very first time. and they reach EPS for the very first time making profit, and their EPS is reach 1.37 NT per share. So that's TSC overall performance. And the second reinvestment company I would like to introduce a little bit is an American company which we just announced that to invest, and that's Transform. This is the first time we could formally introduce this strategic partner, Transform. Transform manufactures high performance and high reliability gallium nitride semiconductor products for high voltage power conversion applications and some RF applications and power devices. SAS invests up to now, we have already invested $15 million equity into Transform. So we have close relationship with Transform, and we have some special synergy. Let me introduce a little bit about our synergy with Transform. Transform's revenue from January to December last year have already reached 21.5%. And this, and they also achieved eight quarters consecutively growth of record product revenue up to Q4 last year, already eight quarters consecutively record revenue increase. And Transform is will keep growing across multiple segments, including consumer products, data centers, automotive, and some AP and industrial products. So that's overall Transform performance. And Transform now is listed in NASDAQ, which was starting from February this year. So last month, now Transform has become a NASDAQ listed company. So that's the overall Transform performance. And what's another synergy or strategic synergy with Transform is that by this investment, GWC now is a production partner with Transform. That means that GWC worked together with Transform. We supply gallium nitride on silicon products or production service to Transform as well. That means that GWC will also benefit from more business from Transform. So that's some quick update for these two reinvestment companies, Transform and TSC. Page four is about our expansion. We have some expansion in 2021 and also which will be continue in 2022 as well. Two main expansion. One is the solar cell expansion. This is the first time in the past 4 years we restarted our expansion on solar cell. And this time we are going to not only increase our capacity, but also we will have new, much higher efficiency, higher output solution for a cell. And this production is in Taiwan. And another expansion is in Germany, Prenzlau, Germany, which is our German solar module production site named Aleo. This time in Germany, we will not only increase our capacity, but also by this expansion, we upgrade our capability as well. So after expansion, Aleo will be capable to supply much higher output solar module. The output can be as high as 450 watt per module based on 60 cells module. So which is much higher than current industry level, around 350, 360 watt per module. So these are the expansion, the expansion program of SAS. Next page 5, let me make some quick update of GlobalWafers overall performance in 2021. GlobalWafers overall revenue in 2021, that's a record high as well. Q4 revenue and also 2021 full year revenue, both of these two hit the record high. What's more important is that GlobalWafers has been growing for 9 consecutive quarters up to Q4 last year, and this will continue. Gross margin wise, Q4 2021, GlobalWafers gross margin, gross profit margin hit 41.3%. This is growing for 4 consecutive quarters, and this reached record high again. In the whole 2021 full year, gross profit margin reached 38.1%. This is the second highest in the history. And EPS wise, 2021 GlobalWafers EPS amounted to NT 27.27. This is due because of the unfulfillment of Siltronic deal, so GlobalWafers is obligated to recognize 50 million euro termination fee in Q4. So if we exclude this termination fee, GlobalWafers 2021 EPS would amount to Q4 would amount to 8.37, or the whole year could amount to 30.77. But we because we didn't fulfill the deal on January 31st, so we have to recognize this this termination fee in Q4. So that was why that GlobalWafers 2021 EPS amounted to 27.27. Then next update about GlobalWafers is their prepayment status. As of end of 2021, GlobalWafers have already received the prepayment. The net prepayment balance amount totaled at 28.6 billion NT or $1 billion. And this is increased by 6.2 billion NT in Q4 only. So we keep increasing. We see more and more LTAs finalized and receive more and more prepayment every month. So we see some increase in January and February this year as well. That's our quick update of the prepayment status. And as we announced in early February, GWC now is working on some expansion for both brownfield and greenfield expansion. And last but not the least, I would like to make a very quick update about the Russian and Ukraine war impact to our solar business. Regarding to the Russian-Ukraine war, because Russia supplies nearly around 40% of the gas that European countries use for heat and electricity, the heavy reliance reveals that the diversification of the energy supplies is very critical. So national energy policy is literally national security policy. This is definitely true in every country. So it's anticipated that most countries will accelerate the move toward energy independence, augmenting the usage of renewable energy, and it is positive for solar development. Nonetheless, that the war now is also worsening the shipping snarl, and with impassable shipping lanes and very limited air capacity, freight rates are skyrocketing, and the double whammy is that the bulkiness of our solar panel, so that makes the whole logistics more difficult. So for our solar business, we don't really see any direct impact on our material supply due to the Russia-Ukraine war, but we see quite a lot of impact from the freight and the availability of the transportation. Also from for GlobalWafers up to now, we don't see any direct impact from the Russia Ukraine war, for global war for semiconductor business, but we do see a big increase on our energy costs for the semiconductor industry as well. So that's our quick update for our overall business, and that the above is the comment. So I will have CW to make further details of the industry trend and our overall detailed financial numbers and ESG highlights to everyone. Thank you very much, everyone, and CW, please.
Thank you, Doris. So let me continue the presentation. Please turn to page 10, company group structure. This is SS Group company structure. SS now is a diversified business group consisting of solar business, semiconductor business, as well as a strategic business like a specialty gas, semiconductor related business, etc. On the left hand side, solar business group, we have Aleo, SS Sunrise, SPW, COFAB here, product including solar module, cell product, and the solar power plant investment. On the right-hand side is the semiconductor business group, including Global Wafers, owned 51.17% for semiconductor wafer. Taiwan Specialty Chemical, owned 30.93% for specialty gas, disilane, trisilane, etc. Crystalwise, owned 35.24% for sapphire. Also new product, LTLN, are under development. AWSC own 22.9%, Gallium Arsenic Foundry House, Electron own 22.75% in automotive diode IC manufacturer, and the Transform own 5.62%, Gallium Nitride Power Product Manufacturer, headquartered located in California, USA. The strengths from this partnership are the cost effective and the reliable mainstream manufacturing process technology, broad technologies, and extensive experience in traditional semiconductor IC, wireless, optoelectronics, automotive applications, and compound materials, etc. Next page, on page 11. This is the revenue trend of semiconductor business and the non-semiconductor business in past 8 years. Our revenue from global wafer semiconductor business has contributed to 89% in 2021. Semiconductor business growth is faster and stable. The share increased a lot from 57% in 2014 to 89% in 2021. Total SAS Group revenue will continue growth going forward. Next is industry overview. Please refer to page 13 to 16. On page 13, this slide shows renewable electricity growth trend. The renewable capacity growth is forecast to accelerate in next 5 years through 2026, accounting 95% of the increase of total global power capacity. In 2021, 290 gigawatt renewable power has been commissioned, and will increase to 330 gigawatt or 453 gigawatt as an excellent case forecast in 2026. Next page, on page 14. This page presents the renewable power constituent elements, mainly including solar PV, followed by wind and hydropower. Based on IEA analysis, even with surging commodity prices, increasing manufacturing costs for solar PV, its capacity additions are forecast to grow by 17% in 2021. Solar PV is expected to account for 60% of renewable capacity additions through 2026. On page 15, this page is the renewable power scale. On left-hand side is a global government clean energy stimulus. As of October 2021, total scale had reached $480 billion. Renewable power account for 11%. On right hand side, also estimate almost 400 gigawatt of additional renewable projects led by solar and wind could be deployed from approved government spending. Next page, page 16. According to IEA report, Europe has strong policy support drive renewable energy growth. On left-hand side, it's divided by countries. Total reached 400 gigawatt renewable capacity additions in Europe during 2021 to 2026. With Germany leads the renewable expansion, we SAS will through our 100% subsidiary in Germany, named Aleo Solar. The professional solar panel manufacturer uses its proximity to augment its advantage in local operational scale. Right-hand side graph also indicates solar products still positioned as the main technology in renewable energy field. Now let's move to 2021 financial result. Please turn to page 18. This page is SAS financial highlight in 2021 versus 2020. In 2021, all-year revenue reached NT$68.8 billion, YOY increased 12%, second highest record, as Doris mentioned earlier. Gross margin was 35.6%, YOY increased 1.2%, EPS NT$11.62 per share, YOY increased NT$0.8 per share. Both hit the record high. Operating profit NT$18 billion, YOY increased 21%. EBITDA NT$23.9 billion, YOY increased 7.5%. All items increased a lot. Net profit NT$12.6 billion, YOY reduced 0.8%, was because Siltronic termination fee, one-off loss, provision valuation. ROE result 24.8% was 1.1% lower than last year, with the same reason. On page 19, this page is Q4 21 result versus Q3 21 and Q4 20. As Doris explained earlier, SAS had the seventh revenue consecutive quarters of growth from Q2 20 to Q4 21. In Q4 21, revenue was NT$18 billion, YOY 15% increase, record high. Gross margin 38%, fourth consecutive quarters of growth, and hit record high as well. Net profit, EPS, EBITDA, and ROE reduced in Q4 21 due to one-off loss provision of Siltronic's termination fee and the valuation loss, as explained in previous slide. Page 20 to 24 are the summary trend of revenue, gross profit, operating profit, net profit, and EPS. The result showing a big improvement in past 5 years. On page 24 is EPS trend. 2021's amount, NT$11.62 per share, is 20 times compared with the 2013's result. If we remove the impact of Siltronic termination fee loss factor, EPS become NT$12.99 per share in 2021. Page 25 to 26 are brief income statement and the balance sheet. On the sheet, you can find 2021 result performed well. Shareholder equity reached to NT$52.2 billion, 2.6 times versus year 2013's result. Page 28 to 32 are ESG highlights. SAS aims at being at the forefront of global responsibility in the aspects of environment, health, and safety, and the corporate governance. On page 28, energy management. On the left-hand side chart is SAS accumulated installation for grid-connected capacity, which reached 139 megawatt in 2021, equivalent to reducing CO2 emission 55,000 stocks and planting 5 million trees. On right-hand side is renewable energy education for rural camp kit project. SAS has dedicated in renewable energy for many years by installed PV system in many schools rooftop. We also aiming to bring the knowledge to our next generation, especially the knowledge of renewable energy to rural rural schools. The purpose is to educate our children. Solar energy is set as affordable A and sustainable S. Clean resources stands for SAS as well. Up to now, we have successfully completed activities in 4 schools, total 74 students, and planning improvement to another 6 schools this year. Page 29 is the environment protection activity, SAS and its subsidiary, Global Weavers, total 123 employees. Held a beach cleaning event in Zhunan Long Form Port, south of Hsinchu Science Park, to raise awareness in marine pollution. Total cleared out 500 kilograms of waste successfully in this event. Page 30 is social concerns. SAS hosts charity events covering 4 aspects: education, children, disability, and volunteer to foster a belief about sharing and giving back to the society. Page 31 is employees' welfare. SAS always target provide better welfare to employees by approaching in 4 aspects: workplace, life resources, health, and welfare, with generous benefits to increase the economic security of employees for stronger motivation. Next page, on page 32, is corporate governance. SAS has awarded top 5 corporate governance among all listed companies for 7 consecutive years. Besides the gender, tenure, and expertise, diversity, as well as the independence of the board of directors, are the guidance for SAS to nimbly navigate in the competitive industry. Page 34 to 39 are subsidiary Global Weavers financial result highlight, including 2021 financial result versus 2020 comparison table, revenue and gross margin trend in past 5 years, EBITDA and EPS trend since 2013, income statement, balance sheet brief summary for your reference. Above is my presentation. Thank you. Next, I would like to hand over to Doris for Q&A session. Doris, please.
Okay, thank you very much, CW. So before we open the Q&A section to all of the investors, I think I will, as always, I think I will quickly reply some question we received by email with everyone. I think the question we receive the most is the question talking about that because everyone knows that Global Weavers overall performance is very good. So we've been asked by so many different investors and analysts. They ask us that, okay, if we deduct Global Weavers, how about SAS alone? Is SAS is making profit at all? Here is the answer. Yes, SAS has reached positive gross margin, operating income, and also cash in 2021. So SAS, even without Global Weavers, SAS standalone, SAS is a profitable company. It's a growing and profitable company. Of course, SAS without semiconductor, SAS its revenue just accounts for around 11% of the consolidated revenue. Still, 89% of the revenue is from GWC. That's true. But even without GWC, SAS itself is a profitable, very profitable company. That's the first one I will share with everyone. And the second point is that I was asked by analysts that to share some overall outlook for 2022. I think that I'm talking about solar renewable energy. I think renewable energy wise, renewable energy growth keep increasing. 2022, matter of fact, the 2022 and several years beyond, I think the whole solar or renewable energy worldwide market will keep growing for the following reason. The first reason is that because we see a lot of energy costs increase in many countries, it's not only because of the Russian-Ukraine war, but also for a lot of supply issue. So the first reason is because of the high price increase of renewable energy, of the energy cost. And the second reason is because that now worldwide, the awareness of carbon emission cut, this is ESG issue, is getting more and more important for the whole industry, the worldwide. So almost every country, including Taiwan, has already set a target that when, in which year the country will reach RE100 or net zero. So many countries and many companies have already set very aggressive goals to cut down the carbon emission. So because of these two reasons, so right now, renewable energy, we see a very strong start, a very strong growth starting from this year and also the next several years. So we are, I think 2022 is very positive from demand wide, but also we see some concerns as well. For example, we polysilicon price keep increasing and some raw material keep increasing, and the freight, what I said earlier, the whole solar product, especially the module, is very bulky. So when the shipment cost is so high right now, that's definitely some headwinds for solar industry. So in summary, SAS, our view is that 2022 overall solar business will be still very strong. And next is that I was asked that how about U.S. American, because Trump stepped down and now new President Joe Biden, how about that the President Biden's U.S. policy for renewable energy, is U.S. still supporting the clean energy or not? Here is our view, our answer. That in U.S., the proposed legislation to extend the investment ITC, investment credit tax, to encourage the deployment of clean energy could power 44% boost in solar deployment. So it's still in the U.S., I think solar or all the renewable solutions can receive a lot of support from U.S. policy as well. So that's our view, that the solar U.S. is still very strong. Okay, and next item is that the price has gone up a lot in the last year, 2021. This is talking about the solar products price increased a lot in 2021. So how about the trend for the further upside in the pricing for renewable solar products? Up to now, Q1, we do see the price keep going up, but the cost, the cost will increase, but also I think the selling price is increased as well, but part of the main reason of this selling price, ASP increase for solar product, is because of the demand. But there are some other factors to make the ASP increase. One of the issues is that the overall cost structure cost is increased, and raw material cost and especially poly cost remain very high. And another concern is because of the overall global inflation, the macroeconomic reason. So that's some of the question. Just a second. Okay. Okay, and also another question was about the our dividend policy, our payout ratio dividend policy. I think we, from company policies, per company policy, actually we didn't set a fixed ratio, the fixed payout ratio for dividend. But usually in the past, we always keep our dividend payout ratio pretty high, way higher than the average payout ratio in Taiwan. But this year, as I explained earlier, that we have some expansion plan for a solar cell and also for a module, and also we have some reinvestment for some semiconductor related products, which are all very strategic. So maybe this year the overall payout ratio will be a little bit lower. It's not finalized yet, but because of the overall EPS is still very strong, so even the payout ratio is a little bit lower, but I think that the dividend will be still pretty high. We haven't finalized our dividend yet. We will make a decision very soon in our next board meeting, so we will share this very very soon. But in basically, I think our dividend will be pretty stable. So this is our dividend policy. Okay, that's pretty much all I prepare for the question, and I would like to open for to receive the question. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you very much, Doris and CW. Now let's begin the Q&A session. Operator, could you provide the instructions to raise questions?
Of course. Thank you, Sunny. So everyone, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone. If you then decide to withdraw the question, simply press star two. Thank you. And we already have our first question, and it is coming from Donnie Tang. Donnie, please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Lady and CW, for taking my question. Can you hear me, please?
Yes, Donnie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chair Lady. So my first question is regarding to the solar business. So it looks like fourth quarter last year, the solar business, or now semi-wafer business gross margin declined a little bit from 18% to 16%.
That's right.
So just curious, if that was mainly due to the high material cost or any other reason? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Donnie. Yeah, that you are exactly right, that our Q4, we suffered a lot from the polysilicon cost increase. Actually, it was not only the polysilicon price issue, but also freight. We pay extremely high freight, especially in Q4. So those are the main reasons for us. And that's why the gross margin was lower compared to previous quarter. And another minor reason for the lower gross margin Q4 was product mix. I think we have some new products under the new products, a small portion of our revenues from that new products, and the gross margin for that one is a little bit lower.
Oh, okay, got it. So do you have any idea about the gross margin trend for solar business in 2022? I know the material cost has been ups and downs from time to time, so just curious if you have any color on the gross margin for solar business.
I think for solar itself, I think the gross margin should be pretty flat around second half last year, about that level, meaning that maybe somewhere around 16 to 18%. That's our view. The uncertainty part is that right now the for polysilicon, which is the major material cost for our solar product, and that material cost now for us is it's not like GlobalWafers for semiconductor polysilicon. We have long-term agreement or 1-year PO with our customers, so it's the price is very predictable, very stable. But for solar, for SAS solar product, polysilicon, you just negotiate the price every, some of them are every month, some of them every quarter. So it's very hard to predict. And right now, because of the energy costs increase for almost everywhere, so that and energy cost is also one of a very one of the important costs for polysilicon as well. So we have a little bit concerned that maybe polysilicon price will be remain very strong this year. We don't know yet, but maybe starting from second half or starting from second half, I think that polysilicon price should drop because some new capacity will be available. So I think that maybe the supply will be a little bit better. That's our view. But in general, I think that the gross margin for solar will be around same as last year, second half last year.
Got it. And Charlie, another question related to solar is that I think it is exciting that we are going to expand, you know, capacity, solar capacity for the first time, I think, since the past few years. So wondering if you have any idea on what kind of capacity growth magnitude we can deliver after the capacity expansion?
If we're talking about total capacity expansion, it's not that much, but what's more important, it's just about 20-25% total capacity increase. But what's more important is that the capacity itself, it's not only capacity, it's capability as well. So the new capacity efficiency will be higher than the old one. So we expect that the unit price, ASP, will be a little bit higher as well.
So does that mean that our, you know, solar business sales growth could be maybe higher than 20% easily in 2022?
No, because the new capacity will not be online until Q4 this year.
Oh, okay.
And just start ramping up from Q4, October a little bit, and November and December, and Q1 next year will be fully loaded, fully online.
Okay, got it. And Julie, so second question is related to our semi wafer business. So I knew that we have announced the Japan earthquake impact. But just curious if you could elaborate more here, and also anything from your competitors in Japan as well. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, the earthquake. We have, you know, that we have 5 factories in Japan, and 4 out of 5 factories are in the north of Japan. So it's very close to the earthquake area. 2 of our fabs, the earthquake magnitude was 4, level 4, and 1 is level 5, and 1 is level 3. So actually, all of those 4 were hit by the earthquake. But fortunately, we have very minimum impact. Basically, we just lost some several hours, and right now, up to by noon, actually everything already resumed, except some ingot growing lines. It has nothing to do with that the tool equipment damage or what. Basically, tools, facility, tools and buildings, and our colleagues, our employees, all of them are okay. But some of the sensitive process, such as ingot growing, we slow down or shut down part of the production for several more hours because that we are worried about the aftershocks. So we think that we will just monitor, check that the status of the aftershock. If it's pretty stable today, then maybe this evening we will start the production. So that's the status. Basically, it's very mild for us, very minimal.
Sorry.
Yeah, and for the other, we also check that the other customers and the other vendors and the other silicon companies in Japan area. I think up to now, as far as we know, that most of the companies are still pretty safe, pretty same as our situation, that lost some tour times, maybe stop the line to check the condition of the tours and maybe some WIP, lost some WIP, so very minimal. Not only GWJ, but also many other companies in Japan. I think this time pretty safe. But of course, some of our Japanese customers, they do have some damage, but they will make their own announcement. It's not very convenient for me to disclose our customer status.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chile. My last question regarding to semi wafer is our capacity expansion, the 100 billion NT investment. So, wondering if you could update maybe the capex investment distribution in 2021 to 2024. Last time I remember it's like 10-40%, 10-40-50% in 2022 to 2024. So, but wondering if there's any change to the plan after this phase. Thank you.
Yes, I think, let me put it this way, that you know that our total 100 billion capex, this 100 billion NT capex, this is a total amount. But there are two components. One is for greenfield, which is around 55 billion, and another part is brownfield, which is around 45 billion NT. Right now, we haven't kicked off our greenfield yet. We have all the design ready, and we are negotiating with the tour makers. We have already started place POs for tours, but we haven't started the construction of the building yet, because we haven't finalized that which location, which country, where will be the location for this greenfield. So for the greenfield part, I think this one definitely will be a couple months or a couple quarters delayed. But right now there is another index, which is the macroeconomic status. We monitor the macro situation very closely as well. If needed, we can definitely adjust the timetable for the greenfield. We can adjust a little bit the scale or the timetable of our greenfield based on the impact of the macroeconomics and also our customers' commitment. So the greenfield overall spending will be a little bit late. But for brownfield, 45 billion NT brownfield, this one is very firm. We have 9 factories in 6 countries are working on the brownfield, and every project is try to move everything in full speed for brownfield. So for brownfield part, it will be very similar to what I said, that 10-40-50%. But this one, 10-40-50%, we're talking about the payment schedule, the capex spending schedule. It's not the capex amount, because for building, the depreciation times is much longer than 6, or some of them can be 20 years. So building facility tours, their depreciation times, duration are totally different. So the 10-40-50% is the payment, the capex spending payout, the ratio of the spending payout of brownfield. But for greenfield, maybe a couple a little bit delay. So I think maybe this will be a couple quarter delay, and I will share more details next time when we really finalize the location. We will finalize our location of the greenfield in 2 months. So when we finalize the schedule, we will immediately kick off the contractor and all the details planning, then we will have much better schedule of our CapEx spending at that time. So I definitely, that in our next earnings call, I will share more details of this part.
Got it. Thank you so much, Lady and CW. Congrats on a very good result.
Thank you very much, Donnie.
There are no further questions in the queue.
Well, maybe let me follow up quickly on the Greenfield comment. So Doris, you just said there may be several months or quarters of delay. So I think earlier this week, you said that the delay was because you were still reviewing all the possible reasons. So I think in February, your initial expectation was that the Greenfield expansion may come sometime in 2024. So at this point, what would be your best guess that the Greenfield may start to ramp?
No change, this part, no change. You know that we ordered tools, everything on schedule, and at least up to now, I think that we will still have big increase of, output-wise in 2024. We will have very good volume in 2024 from Greenfield because we are working on the site selection and we will be working on the construction and the tool ordering in parallel. So far our schedule, our schedule, project schedule, no change. What I said that I will delay a little bit is the spending will delay. It's not the project will delay.
Got it. Thank you for that clarification. And then maybe second question on compound semis production by GlobalWafers. Any color you'll be able to share with us how much capacity that you have for silicon carbide and gallium nitride, how much revenue contribution from compound semis for GlobalWafers, and how much growth should we be looking at into this year and 2023?
For silicon carbide right now, this is the first time we disclose our capacity, but it's already very firm, and we already started the shipment now. So I think I can share a little bit about our silicon carbide capacity. Our capacity now is around 6-inch equivalent. Silicon carbide 6-inch equivalent is around 2,000 wafers a month. By end of the year, it will reach 5,000 wafers a month by end of this year. And next year, we are planning to double the capacity. That means that by end of next year, we hope that our goal is to reach 10K per month. And we will keep growing very rapidly in the next several years because it's a big part of the 100 billion NT CapEx package as well. The compound is a part of that. It's not only for 300 millimeter silicon wafer. We have some portion of the expansion for the CapEx for its compound as well. For gallium nitride, it's a little bit more complicated for me to give you a firm number because it's very difficult to calculate because we have gallium nitride, we have aluminum nitride, we have gallium nitride on silicon, gallium nitride on silicon carbide. So we have several different products. It's hard to give you a number that was our capacity now, but what I can tell you is that in 12 months, by mid next year, by end of Q2 next year, I think our capacity will double for gallium nitride. In the next 12 months, the capacity will be higher than what we have today.
Got it. Thank you. Quick follow-up. So for 2022, or maybe you could give us the number for 2021, how much revenue of GlobalWafers was coming from compound semis?
It's still very low. We didn't disclose the detail, but it's very low. It's still low single digit.
Got it. Sure. No problem. Thank you. That's very helpful. So in the interest of time, let's wrap up here. Thank you all for joining the call, and thanks again to Doris and CW today. Thank you and take care.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Bye-bye.